Hi, I'm Lori Bransky, and welcome back to the Draft Prospect Review, an official podcast of the New England Patriots. It's the first day of spring right here at Gillette Stadium on March 30th, and today we have Brian Lowe, Tom Casale, Andy Hart, and Paul Perillo, as usual, to give you the rundown on some prospects.
Thanks, Laurie. And on today's report, we're going to talk about wide receivers. We kicked off our position-by-position preview last week with quarterbacks. Talking about receivers today, a position that prior to some of the moves that the Patriots have made in the last couple weeks, you probably would have figured was a first-round target. Still could be, but maybe not quite as necessary for the Patriots. But definitely a handful of guys who should go in the first round. Calvin Johnson, looked at by some as possibly a first overall pick talent.
I think
whether
the Patriots
Raiders
take him.
Go that way. I think they should, too. I think Jamarcus Russell might be their number one target. But
No. Calvin Johnson.
I think Calvin Johnson is the most perfect prospect in years, on and off the field. He's one of those guys, sooner or later somebody will poke a hole in it, but right now he's the golden boy.
He really does have a flawless reputation. He was an outstanding talent. He hasn't done anything off the field. He had the mythical situation at the combine where he perhaps had someone else's shoes.
Which he's debunked now.
Someone else borrowed his shoes.
He was getting his own shoes back from somebody.
But it certainly sounded nice that weekend.
That's how legends are made. 10 years from now, the retraction will be forgotten. It'll just be he ran a 4.35 40 and borrowed shoes.
So Danny Ainge bit Tree Rollins.
He's so good that when I do the things for the web, I'm going to do positives and negatives, and for negatives, it's just going to say none. I don't have any. He goes across the middle. He does everything you want. The
size,
only negative he
speed,
had was Reggie
hands.
Ball, and he's not bringing him with him to the NFL. So,
But even him, all I've heard him do is try to praise Reggie Ball. Every time I see an interview about their workouts and pro days, this, he brings up the other guys, and, oh, Reggie Ball was out there doing things, and perfect. Perfect human being.
He's 6'5".
We like him.
I think a lot of people do. So there's not much to say. I mean, he's going to be, at the latest, probably fourth overall to Tampa Bay.
The only thing Patriot fans have to be concerned with Calvin Johnson is that there's rumors that the Jets may be trying to trade up to that number two or three spot. And the thoughts are it might be for Calvin Johnson. So other than that, the Patriots have no interest.
I'll throw one other just quirky little thing out there. By all accounts, the Redskins have become enamored with Calvin Johnson, want to get up to take him, don't have the MO to do so.
Right, if they had draft picks.
Patriots trade with Redskins, take them to the cleaners to give the Redskins ammo to trade up, but in the long run, Patriots went out big. Just throwing it out there. Patriots trade the 28th and something else to the Redskins for a first-round pick next year. Watch and learn.
Taking a rumor and adding another rumor to it. Andy Hart.
Nothing better than a rumor built on a rumor.
Let's attack wide receiver from this perspective. Is it, you know, like Bilo said at the top, is it a position now that's off the radar because of all the free agency?
No.
Or
let's say off the first-round radar. That's really where
do we go?
It's pushed down a round or two. Now you're looking to get that real depth of the draft that's available receiver. You're looking to get a steal in the mid-rounds.
Especially, and the Patriots' history of taking receivers early in the draft, not necessarily first round. I mean, I think it was Terry Glenn the last time they took one in the first round. But
Chad Jackson was kind of a first-round pick.
Right.
They considered him,
special picks.
And they treated him like one.
But their history, I mean, will they be scared off by some of the misses that they've had in the second round with wide receivers?
No.
Not Dan Bryant, I mean, but Bethel John, the last two. I agree, though.
They don't have a second round pick, so it would be third, fourth, fifth
area. Right.
So we can eliminate the second round jinx, if you will.
Right. But just to talk about
a few 50-50.
Of the guys, just to bring up a few of the guys that are going to be first round, second round, a couple of schools. Well, there's Robert Meacham of Tennessee, but then there's a few schools, three schools, who have two guys who will probably be first or second round. LSU with Dwayne Bowe and Craig Davis, Ohio State with Ted Ginn and Anthony Gonzalez, and then USC with Dwayne Jarrett and Steve Smith. Let's talk about Jarrett first. I mean, he was a guy who has been all over the map, didn't really acquit himself all that well at the combine, but obviously a pretty good talent. He's big, almost as big as Calvin Johnson. What are the thoughts on Dwayne Jarrett?
Well, I actually just saw him on the film, and I liked some things and I didn't like some things. I thought he was a very good route runner, gets open, he goes up and gets the ball. He's physical at the line, but he doesn't get a lot of separation. Like, even when he gets by the defender stays with him. That he catches the ball very well with his hands. It's that lack of speed, though, getting that separation. I don't know if he's going to be anything more than that Keyshawn Johnson-type possession receiver, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But
which most teams will take 85 catches.
How high are you going to take him? I mean, if you get him late first round, I think that's a pretty good pick. It's hard to project what he's going to do in the NFL because of that speed factor. How's he going to get away from those corners?
Dwayne Bowe, obviously being from LSU, was a guy that, you know, you have on the Patriots' radar screen. He'll be a first-rounder, so if the Patriots decide not to go wide receiver in the first round, he won't be out there. But is he a guy that you think would be a good fit here?
Not really.
No?
No. I think he's a big guy. He doesn't really run great routes, drop some passes. I think,
inconsistent.
Yes, I think he got overrated because he played Notre Dame's defensive backs, and anyone who plays Notre Dame's defensive backs looks good.
The one thing I'd say that sort of makes him, if we're going to play into the whole Patriot philosophy and player, is he's a great blocker and loves blocking, and you know that kind of plays into the Patriots mentality, not necessarily just a big play kind of guy, but would do the little things like block downfield. And by all accounts, he's quote-unquote a nasty blocker.
You know, we're talking a lot about the wide receivers, and people, you know, like we just, you guys agreed, I agree with you guys, I should say, it still could be a need. And maybe some of the people listening are saying, well, why would they be looking at any of these wide receivers? Don't forget, if you want to say the five guys that figure to be wide receivers right now, really only Welker is signed long term. I mean,
right.
there's a chance that that Gaffney and Caldwell are both going to be free agents at the end of the year, regardless of what they do.
Or they could be free agents at the end of August when they're told they're free agents.
And then Stallworth in Washington both have sizable option bonuses due, so they could be free agents as well.
And
so
Chad Jackson's under contract for a few more years.
Chad Jackson's
but who
knows? a huge wild card. So out of your six wide receivers, counting Chad Jackson,
you have a nice little third.
Only Welker is under contract going forward definitively. That's why you're kind of looking at some of these wide receivers and saying, why are they talking about a Dwayne Bowe? There's no way they're going to take – well, maybe – you know, maybe they could. Maybe they'll try to trade up in the second round.
Well, that's what I was
like
going
to
say. There's
you know?
Also a chance that one of these guys, Bo, whatever, who are, quote, first-round picks, are available in the middle of the second round,
maybe
and they look at value again.
Maybe they deal that second first-round pick to get down into the second round and maybe get
add
something
third,
in the future
knows,
or whatever. And now all of a sudden one of these guys that Tom and Andy are talking about are on the board and you take them.
And the guy I have number two clearly is Ted Ginn Jr. And the reason I do is because his speed is so remarkable. You get him into a system, you teach him a little bit, how to run routes a little bit better. He has that thing you just can't teach. That speed is just amazing. Punt returner, kick returner. I think if you get him in the right system, he can do so many different things for you. He becomes a valuable player as a first round draft pick.
As long as he doesn't celebrate his touchdowns.
Well, that's the thing. He's coming off, you know, he had a prolific career, but unfortunately it ended in that championship game loss early in the game. It was the opening kickoff.
When Ohio State season
and
ended,
too. Gonzalez had a great game after that, right?
No. He never has. Gonzalez is a great number two.
Gonzalez was the other guy. All of a sudden, a couple weeks ago, his name was floated as first round guy. Not a chance.
Huh? I wouldn't touch him in the first round if you told me I didn't have to pay him to play. He is a second to third round draft pick. That's what he is. It's like Andy said, he's a number two guy. You don't take number two receivers in the first round.
Right.
Those are called busts.
Right. And the other thing I'd say about him is, and I don't know if I've mentioned it on this before, but I think he's too cerebral to be a Patriot, honestly. He's a guy
that wear glasses at the combine interview.
But, I mean, everything he talks about,
he
wants... Everything has to have a reason. Everything is analyzed, and it's analyzed through his head, not necessarily, here's what Bill Belichick told me to do, here's what I do, lay my life on the line for the Patriots. I honestly believe he's a little too much of a thinker to fit in perfectly here.
Interesting. What about some, we've talked about some of the top guys, any dark horses, any guys who you think either will be Patriot targets late or guys who are under the radar now that have really just opened your eyes for first day picks?
Well, one guy I know people talk about, Raymond McKnight from Notre Dame, he stinks. He can't play, he can't catch.
Well known because of the school, because of the quarterback and all that, but
he's
no
good.
The coach.
He can't play.
The other wide receiver.
A guy Andy and I really like is Paul Williams from Fresno State.
Yep.
He's got first-round talent, but he had ninth-round quarterback play at Fresno State.
Mm-hmm.
He's someone, you know, the history with Hill and Belichick, he's someone that could come in here. He's big, he's tall, he's fast, he could do a lot of things. And Jason Hill from Washington State, another guy is David Clowney from Virginia Tech is a guy like, those are some guy mid-round guys.
Clowney's another one that was victimized by bad quarterback play, too, you know, at Virginia Tech. He's a guy that had a lot of ability but didn't have anybody really to get him the ball.
It's basically just run fly routes or two-yard outs and I'll throw you the ball.
Got a couple I'll throw out there, kind of undersized guys, maybe Patriots-sized receivers. Chancey Stuckey out of Clemson, I thought was Deion Branch, too, watching him on tape. He reminded me so many ways, catching the ball, the route running, the shiftiness, and the ability to get down right when, you know, catches the ball, that Deion thing, kind of the Marvin Harrison. They get the ball, boom, and they know when to get down, know when to turn it upfield for a big play.
Another one, by the way, with bad quarterback, Clemson.
Yep.
And another guy is Ryan Robinson out of Miami of Ohio.
I love that
guy. We really liked him as a small. He's 5'9", 180, you know, a small guy, but I think he could be a decent playmaker in the right system.
How about David Ball of New Hampshire? Seriously, what are his pro prospects?
I'll take Ryan Robinson.
Yeah, I'm not as high on David Ball as a lot of other people. Now, you can't question below the productivity. The guy was off the charts. I think it's a kind of a gimmicky offense that they run at UNH. Santos is really the player, in my opinion, that made that offense go. But he's a big guy. He's 6'2", 6'3". I wonder how fast he is. I talked to a couple of guys that coach at that level. They don't necessarily look at him as a pro prospect. You know, and let's face it, that league has turned out, you know, a fair amount of pros, so it's not like they don't see that level of player ever, and this is the one guy they're evaluating. I don't think he'll have enough speed necessarily to get open. He does have the size. He's a pretty big guy, and, I mean, you're breaking Jerry Rice touchdown records. Obviously, the production is there. I'm not in love with him as an NFL prospect.
And don't forget, Paul's the guy that gave you Colston last year.
I was just going to bring that up.
So if he's not in love with him, that means he can't play.
I was just going to say, Colston back in the seventh round last year.
One guy we forgot to mention, Tom and I have written a lot about on the website, a middle-of-the-pack kind of guy, is Courtney Taylor, a route runner out of Auburn. That's all the cornerbacks who played against him raved about his route-running ability, and we know how important that is to the Patriots and the whole timing of the offense. They love route runners, so he's a guy maybe to keep an eye on third round, you know, second round, third round, fourth round, who knows.
One other, we're finishing up wide receivers, one other little segment that we started a couple weeks ago on these podcasts. I just want to continue as we go through some of the past Patriots drafts and just touch on real quick, good, bad, overall, who were the best. Back in 2004, extremely top-heavy. Vince Wilfork and Benjamin Watson
literally
in the first round. Yeah, exactly. The first round, phenomenal. After that, quite forgettable. Marquise Hill in the second round, he's still here, barely. And then you got Gus Scott, Dexter Reed, Cedric Cobbs, P.K. Sam, and Christian Morton. Is there much to say about this draft?
I still love Cedric Cobbs. You put him in that Arkansas uniform, and I still love him.
Andy loves him. He ran backwards well.
That's one of those drafts where, on the surface, you thought there were some things there. Cedric Cobbs, a steal. P.K. Sam, a big receiver. Maybe he didn't have quite, if he matures, he could be. I know Bill thought he had a steal of a receiver. Even Marquise Hill as a project, the body and the things he could do if he matures. None of them matured.
I'll even say this, Andy, to further illustrate your point. Gus Scott's a guy, I think, that had some ability. I think that, unfortunately, you'll never be able to see it. He ripped up both knees and just wasn't fast enough. We saw when he did get a chance to play that second year after the first injury, he was a step slow a lot of the time when he was filling in for Rodney. I don't think we ever got to see what Gus Scott could do. Dexter Reed's still in the league, by the way, as a special teamer, but and we all thought it at the time, too small to be an every down safety. He's a special team guy.
Plus, we didn't like him.
Yeah, plus not a good guy.
I remember with that draft, Benjamin Watson taken in the first round was a guy that I don't think too many people really knew about, but a lot of people knew about P.K. Sam at Florida State. He had a pretty good career. People, you know, there was some intrigue with Hill, as you mentioned. He was one of the youngest guys and had certainly some size. Cobbs was a running back who I think we talked about as a good middle round prospect.
He's one of those guys that peaked right in the middle of his college career, and it was downhill from there.
Man, was he good.
And then
he was on ESPN's Next. The next what?
but that shows how the draft can be, though. Like you guys said, that's one of those drafts where you thought you had some good picks there, and it just happened. That was a year where none of them turned out to work out your way, except for the first two.
Vince Wilfork, obviously, that alone, you know, makes for a pretty good. I mean, he's possibly a future All-Pro, and Benjamin Watson, obviously, doing pretty well. So that's going to do it for this edition of the Draft Prospect Review. We're back for more next week. We'll look at another position. We'll look at another Patriots draft, and we'll continue catching you up as we hit the one-month mark from the NFL draft. That'll do it for this one. For Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale, I'm Brian Lowe. Let's send it back to Laurie.
Thanks, guys. Remember to join us every Tuesday for a new Draft Prospect Review podcast. Keep checking Patriots.com for all the latest updates. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!